Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, Vaughn Thiel's in the building. What's happening, sir?
That's right. I'm here, man. I'm good, bro.
You went to sleep at what time this morning?
I'm not even sleep, man. I got home from Richards Bay at 2 a.m. this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... it's crazy, man. It was ridiculous.
What were you doing in Richards Bay?
Well, it's not really a long story. I'll keep it short. We got booked out in Richards Bay on Saturday night, so I went through with Shane and... you know, two of our other team members, two guys that produce music for us. So we got there, we performed. So I DJ'd for him. We performed, and then, man, we tried to leave because it got a bit hectic. Like, they're really crazy out there. So they were like swamping and like they just like swarmed us, man. And then he was trying to get out the club. And as we got out, get to the car, my car keys got stolen.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
And I didn't have my spares on me, bro. So we chilled in the parking lot. We didn't sleep till like 6:30 in the morning. Eventually, a couple people helped us out. We were chilled. And then my brother had to send my keys on a plane. Got the keys at like 4 o'clock. We only left Richards Bay at about 4:30. Bro, 9-hour drive. You know what it's like.
Just, and people thought managing a rap artist was going to be something glamorous.
Yeah,
there,
man.
You go.
Trust me, man. People think that even going to these shows, traveling, it's fun. I mean, you have fun. You make memories and stuff. But it's crazy work, man. It's
hectic.
Yeah. It's not that easy, bro.
All right. There you go. Well, I'm glad that you and Shane Eagle and everybody's fine and back in Johannesburg.
we're good.
How does it feel, though, to pay for a flight for keys?
Yeah, that no. So you didn't have to pay for the flight. You pay like a cargo express or something.
Okay,
yeah,
I was about to say.
It was $300-$400, but it's expensive though.
Yeah, armed doors and cross checkers, keys on a seat.
Yeah, and I had to tow the car. So imagine like 1 point something for for getting the keys stolen. It's crazy, man.
All right, what a shitty weekend. Sorry,
that was fun though.
Fun in the end.
Yeah, it was cool.
Okay, Schmangs is going to join us in a little bit. He's running late, but that's
Schmangs.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We have a very special guest hanging out. He's a comedian rock star. You've won a lot of things. I could go into all of them, but which is the most important to
my
me?
My birth certificate.
Okay.
You won that race.
Yeah. Because no one has the same title, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The same ID number, so yeah, I'm chill with that.
But now your birth certificate, does it also say stop nonsense?
Nope.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
So how should we introduce you? What's your full name, aka alias, everything altogether?
Should I do it my way?
Yeah. Do it hardcore, bro.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you now tuned into CliffCentral.com and with your boy Do Me Stop Nonsense, aka Jumaima, the number one gossip diva. Yeah.
Wait, one more time. That was too good, bro. One more time.
Yeah. So you gotta have this playing every day. Do we have that?
One more time.
All right, cool. Ayo, you now tuned in to CliffCentral.com with your boy Do Me Stop Nonsense, aka Nwanamutsepe, aka Jumaima, your number one gossip diva. You better tell them I'm in the building.
I mean, it's gonna happen a lot more after the 29th of August, but I do feel at this point we should throw this in. There you go.
Levels.
Okay. See, we're all preparing for Touch Central.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, dude. This journey with comedy, I mean, where did it all kick off? Did you used to just put on shows for your family and walk into the living room and start spitting jokes, or how did it start?
Never. I will not be, I choose to be different like any other comedian that will tell you their sad story. I was born rich, so I had DSTV in my bedroom. So I saw at some point Trevor Noah, and I was like, I can also do this. So yeah.
That's a good start to the story. I mean, he's done very well. If you follow in his footsteps,
yeah, man. No, but on the real note, man, I'm an IT technician by profession. You know what I'm saying? So it just happened that after graduating, and then I realized like there's just only a little space, you know, for us to get jobs, because it's either they want what you call experience, and you need to be also, you need to get, I mean, sort of accreditations and whatnot. So it was kind of difficult.
This is to be an IT technician.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was kind of difficult for me to get a job at that time. And then I realized that God has given me something very special, which is a talent. And now with the influence of people like your Eugene Causa, your Trevor Noahs, you know, they are there doing big things, and I was there as that child that knew that he was funny. You know, I've always been funny. I've always been chased out of the classroom for all these funny things that I was doing. So then I realized if I can put money to it, why not?
Well, this is what's interesting. So Trevor Gumby also, he started out as a call center agent. Trevor as a call center agent,
yeah, that's,
I mean,
crazy.
And even thinking of you as an IT, I mean, I wouldn't trust you with a computer. It's crazy how one sort of gets pushed into stuff, and then you have to stop and say, no, I actually want to do X. And yes. And when you made that decision, was it hard for everyone else in your life to accept?
Yeah, my man, yo, it was. I think that was the most bravest and toughest decision that I have that I ever had to do, like to ever take in my life. Because what actually happened is that just after graduating, you know, yeah. that your parents, in fact, they have an impact towards what you decide to do after.
Yeah.
My mom used to work at an IT company, so I actually also went into IT thinking that she'll be a connection for me to get into the market. You know what I'm saying? But then when I decided to do that, to do comedy rather, and then I was told by my parents that it's either I leave the house and do comedy, or I stay in the house and follow my IT. You know what I'm saying?
And did you end up having to leave the house?
I had to, man. I remember, I always say this. I always mention this to people that I was once homeless. You know what I'm saying? Because I'd hop in to friends' camps. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd visit a friend. They'll think, oh my God, like this guy has got too much love for me. He's always visiting me, not knowing that I'm just there, you know, for the roof. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then... I used to also go to clubs, you know, like in Monte Cassino Hub, go to them, and not having transportation or even accommodation, I'd make friends with the guys that worked at a local petroleum station.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have friends there, so they would keep me busy. We'll just push talks, you know, up until morning. Then in the morning, then I can see which friend to visit. So that was like the struggle up until God heard my cries. You know what I'm saying? So he responded very well, and look at me now.
Look at you now.
That's dope, man. That's crazy. Like, I know a lot of comedians, because I'm a fan of comedians. I love stand-up comedy. I'm like, my favorite comedian is
don't mention me. Too much.
Yeah, it's you. For me, internationally, my favorite at the moment, or one that I'll always mention, is Eddie Griffin. I love Eddie Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Griffin's a legend. And then obviously like guys like Bernie Mac, et cetera, et cetera. But Eddie Griffin's, you know, just his story is inspiring. It just reminds me a little bit of what you're saying now, because a lot of these comedians sort of, it's a very difficult place to break into, first of all, because, you know, it's a tough profession, because you got to try and really make people laugh, and you got to try and find a way that you can keep it generic enough to make masses laugh, you know. So he was talking about that. He was talking about content and how he had to like kind of almost not change his personality, but he needed to adapt his personality to suit content that is relatable and understandable and funny and whatnot, right?
Yeah,
so the struggle comes in, you know, he also sort of like homeless, slept in the bars, slept in the clubs until he could get a gig. But the other struggle, he said, was tailoring content. And and like trying to find a way to bring himself to the people so that they understand that he's funny as a guy, but doing it in a way that is receivable, you know, because sometimes you can be funny with your friends, but it's because they have a very good understanding of you, and therefore they find it funny, you know, whereas if you're standing in front of a crowd, they don't know who you are. So I don't know, from that perspective, how much did you have to work on your content and delivery and those type of things, or is it something you still try and, you know, fight through, or how do you approach that?
I think with me, an advantage that I had is that in the start of my career, I used to perform locally, like in the townships, you know, the comedy is growing nowadays, you know, recently you'll find that in every location, like in the township, there's that club that has comedy on a given day. So now, I just basically speak about my life. You know what I'm saying? So the things that I say to the people, they can easily relate to, because these are everyday experiences. At times you also have to like drift away from your comfort zone. You know what I'm saying? Because there were times where I also perform like for a white audience. I was much more comfortable with vernacular comedy, but then when I went to your Monte Casino, and then I found the now I need to restructure, but I can still tell the same story because it is funny. You know what I'm saying? But I just need to find a formative or a certain way of delivering, because what makes us laugh, we are people and we've got different sense of humors. You know what I'm saying? So how I deliver it also plays an important role. Now, to answer your question, I'd say even up to today, you know what I'm saying? You get a corporate gig that says that is based on a certain brand, and you have to sit down and research about the brand, where it comes from, and the impact that it has on society and all those things. Then from all the facts that you've gathered, all the information, that's where now you can start to make humor out of it. You know what I'm saying? But it's an everyday challenge, because we are not like musicians. A musician can drop a song today.
Mm.
Right, they can drop a song today and then you can sing the whole song up until 2025.
Mm.
As long as people, the more people know your lyrics, you don't have any pressure of changing, you know what I'm saying? And we are not like gospel artists whereby we have God waking us up at 3 a.m. to give us revelations of songs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah, that's how it is, man.
Yeah, that is. That's what I'm saying. It's a very strategic, complex sort of execution, you know, and skill. Yeah.
How do you know if you're funny? I mean, Vaughn, let's start with you. How do you know if you're funny?
Yeah, it's crazy. The thing is, I think if you make you see, this is how I would imagine, right? I would imagine it like this. I think the one part about being a funny comedian is being able to impersonate. I think sort of a lot of people start in impersonations, whether it's in vernac or whether it's in English. If you can impersonate a really good mother or a really good father or a really good white guy or a really good black guy or a Latin guy, if you're really good at impersonations, people find that funny because it's a little bit of shock value. Like you look a certain way, but you can speak in a certain way, which is funny, right? So I think sometimes it starts like that. But for me, I'm funny if I meet different people all the time and I'm always sort of the guy that's making different people in different scenarios laugh. So at a dinner or at a lunch or like hanging out with my friends at break or like, you know, that type of thing, man. Like at varsity.
Yeah, but you know, with friends laugh at anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it doesn't
just
necessarily
to make you
be friends.
Feel good.
Mm.
They'll just laugh at anything. You know?
Yeah, but I think in different contexts, if you're always making people laugh, I guess you're funny. You know what I mean? There's a general standard level that you can that you're able to achieve that can make a variety of people laugh. I think that's how you kind of can tell if you can make someone you've just met really laugh. You know, not of being polite
and read the situation and all of that,
and be witty enough to adapt a joke to it, and you know that type of thing.
Yeah. I think also the most important element that comedians, even upcoming comedians, myself included, need to also learn is the ability to improvise. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of funny humor is derived from improvisation.
Mm.
If you had a maybe you throw in a gag and someone is not laughing or people are not laughing, they're not receiving it well, and it's not because you're not funny, you know what I'm saying? But maybe they just don't relate to what you're saying.
Mm.
Then just find a way of making fun of that certain environment, your present moment.
Mm.
So that's always key.
There's something that I was thinking about, you know, South Africa specifically, and Trevor Noah as well. A lot of comedians all over the world, actually, they're fairly, to some degree, they've got some sort of consciousness because they generally make jokes or make light of certain serious situations, you know, and a lot of the time they address issues in society, but they do it in a funny, humorous way, and people are a little more receptive to hearing it like that. So comedy plays quite an important role, I think, in sort of bridging gaps between races and religions, etc. Right.
True.
But at the same time, it's an interesting dynamic because we sit in South Africa and we always make jokes about our politicians. Like our comedians rip politics into pieces, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, they register to vote and they go and vote. So they're serious enough to take part in our political process.
True.
But they, you know, in the same breath, spend a large amount of their career joking about the leaders of our country, you know. So it's just an interesting dynamic, I think, to me, because, you know, you in one hand you're making a joke out of it, and on the other hand you kind of serious enough to vote. In my mind, how, you know, how does that fit in, and why does it happen like that? You know, is it a bit of a hypocritical thing, do you think, or is it just part of the game?
It's part of the game, because if you look at it now, at a closer view, we comedians, we actually 90% of the things that we say on stage, these are issues that people are afraid to say, or these are messages that people don't want to convey boldly. But when we say it, we are given that platform that you can always say, ah, you was funny. You know what I'm saying? But that's the honest truth. You know what I'm saying? But some of the things, they are not really, you know, we don't really mean it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember this other time, I had the funniest set of the night. I went into Monte Cassino and my first word on stage was like, guys, let's be honest, apartheid was not bad. And everyone was on the floor. Like, yeah, but you see, it taught us responsibility. What? You know what I'm saying? Apartheid, I was just giving off good things about apartheid, which are not necessarily good things
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Because I said they taught us responsibility. Because how many times would you leave your house without your dorm pass? But look at you now. Today, you're losing your bank cards. You're losing your SASSA cards. You're losing your ID documents. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's somewhere, somehow, there is a thin line of truth. But at the end of the day, it's all in the game. We're just making fun.
Yeah.
Our job is to just make you laugh.
Yeah.
So... And I so pray that one day a lot of comedians, or if not all comedians, need to have to be aware of who they are, of who they are.
Mm.
And then after every performance, make sure that at least one or two people out of that, they've learned something, because we have a strong or a positive effect to the community.
Yeah, so, you uplift people. It's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So besides you forgetting about your problems and whatnot, coming to laugh, let us also use that to educate the people. You know what I'm saying?
Steve Harvey said, he said something along the lines of, if I can make them laugh, I have their attention, and if I have their attention, I can teach them.
Yes.
So it was it's an interesting.
And then he went and read out the wrong person for Miss Universe and screwed it all up.
That was lit.
Oh yeah, we got to get some closing remarks here though. In terms of where you want to take it, and just a quick take on the state of SA comedy as it is right now.
Oh yeah. Big ups first of all to Trevor Noah. Mm. This guy,
I don't even see him
as competition. I can't. I mean, it's wrong. It's wrong. You know what I'm saying? But he's shown to us, to every African child, to say, you know what, it's possible.
Yeah.
If you can dream it, you can achieve it with hard work, obviously. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy with the state that South African comedy is at now. We out here making a lot of money. So we're living comfortable, and the support is huge, because now I just had a show last month at Carnival City, Mardi Gras Theatre. It was sold out. That was my first installment.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It was sold out. I even had to add, I think, 200 chairs. So I'm now pushing a brand called BEE Comedy, which is Bless Us Economy Empowerment. You know what I'm saying? It's a very funny concept that we had. I mean, the production was on point. Now we even...
You're headlining the show, yeah?
Yes, I was the host. Yeah. I mean, it's my baby, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm also in partnership with Tico Events. Now we're taking it to greater levels. Now from just the theater there, we're taking it to the Big Top Arena. And mark my words, guys, it's going to be a sold out on the 26th of August, sorry.
Right,
so, yeah,
cool.
So the state of comedy, people are receiving it well. And I'm glad that, you know, people actually can move from the comfort of their homes, regardless of the weather or whatnot, and come through and support such a new industry, we would say, in South Africa.
That's dope,
very
man.
Cool.
Yeah, very dope.
It is at Stop Nonsense on Twitter.
Yep.
Sir, thank you very much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
There you go. That there is the GRT.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.